is aware of who's joining us, not in the room, but there are a number of people throughout the week that will tune in, some on Sundays and some throughout the week, and so we want to say a special welcome to them, and so thankful that we can connect in this way, and it reminds me of that spiritual truth, that we're not gathered in body, we're joined together in spirit. And so the Holy Spirit that is there with you is here with us and unites us together and continues to mend and to weave our hearts together. Don't you believe that? And so it's so good that you're joining us, and thank you for your faithfulness and for your worshiping heart and spirit, even right there where you are. And so so I wanted to mention that this morning. Also, let me mention at the end of my message, I want to just share some information, and as we go along through the replanting process and that replanting journey, there's kind of an ongoing and continuing, not just work, but conversation and sharing information and sensing the Lord's leadership as we go along. And so I'll share some things with us later on following my message. All right, are you in Jeremiah 18 yet? Okay, let's start in verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from who? The Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and when you get there, I will give you a message. So, Jeremiah says, I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And then verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The Lord said this, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord. Like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster that I had planned. In verse 9. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Lord, today we submit ourselves to you, to the work and the movement of your Holy Spirit, and to the power of your word to transform our lives. Lord, you come and have your way in our midst and in our lives as if we were clay in your hands, O great potter. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord has a word for Jeremiah. Now, I want you to go along with me here. I want to paint a picture. And so sometimes when I'm listening to a speaker and they're kind of talking in this way, I'll close my eyes and just let my mind paint a picture. I don't know how you do it. But I want you to go along with me as I kind of paint a picture here. So the Lord has a word for Jeremiah. He says, go down to the potter's house and watch and then listen. Jeremiah obeys and makes his way down to that place where the potter was working. Now, in your mind's eye, can you picture that potter's house? Maybe the potter lived alone, and his house was where he did his work. Maybe there were just two rooms in that house. There was a larger one where the potter lived, where he slept, where he cooked, where he ate. In that room, he also welcomed his friends who would gather and they would fellowship together. Maybe there was a window off to the side that let the light into the room. Can you picture it? And then there's a second room, the second room where he worked. A completely different space. Dusty, musty, kind of dark around the edges. Shelves on one side that held vessels of various sizes and shapes. Shards scattered on the floor. Or maybe he had swept them over into the corner. And right there in the middle of that room was the potter's wheel, where he turned the lumps of clay. Surely there's a jar of water nearby. The floor that's underneath is stained. And instead of a window on the side, maybe in this room there's a window at top, at the ceiling, where the skylight comes in and illuminates the room differently so that the potter can do his work. And there in that room, with the light shining down from above, resting on the potter's wheel, is that lump of clay that Jeremiah saw. That famous lump of clay that became the object depicting a people's journey with God. That lump of clay, that famous lump of clay that preachers and prophets spoke about over thousands of years. And there in that room, the potter welcomed Jeremiah in, and Jeremiah took his place against the wall in the shadows and watched the potter and listened to the Lord. That creaky wheel began to turn, and the clay-stained hands of the potter, wet with water, grabs hold of that lump and begins his work to mold it, to break it, to shape it. This picture of the potter, it becomes for me a picture in my mind's eye of my Heavenly Father, of God. There are all kinds of images and metaphors and names of God all throughout the Scriptures. But there's something about this one that brings him very close to me. Not because I know a thing about turning clay and making something that's useful. It brings him close to me, and it helps me to see him as the one who tends to my life. Because if I am, as in this story, a lump of clay, I need to know that the potter's hands have me and hold me as he shapes me. And so it brings God very close to me. It helps me to understand that God is not just some distant deity, high and above, high lifted up far away, holy and other than me. It helps me to know that he is my creator and takes me and holds me in his hands and shapes my life. He takes the clay and he breathes life into it, and we breathe and we have our being. The picture of God as my potter brings him near to me as the one who created me. I'm not just some random collection of molecules and cells and whatever it is that makes up these bodies of ours. They didn't just happen to fuse together and create someone that looks like and sounds like and acts like me. that divine potter took the clay of my life and breathed life into it. He created me, and he knows me. And that same potter took the clay of your life, and he created you, and he breathed life into you, and he knows you. His hands, God's hands, divine and holy, yet touched by the dust of humanity, take hold of my life, and God clutches me and works on me and molds me and shapes me. He folds in the painful experiences of my life, and he accentuates the beautiful moments of joy that I know and love. And he does that for you. And he doesn't let go of my life until he is finished. He doesn't let go of me until he is finished. He doesn't let go of me until he is finished. He doesn't let go of me until he is finished. That potter holds us as the clay in his hands until he is finished. We are all clay in the potter's hands, and he holds us, and he is doing his work on us, and he isn't finished yet. If you woke up this morning and you breathed in and you breathed out, which let me pause right here and say this, I've heard Bible scholars much smarter than I am say that God has created this way in us that when we breathe in and breathe out, it's like we speak that ancient name of God that is not to be spoken. Have you ever heard that? Yahweh. The breathing in and out actually seems to pronounce that unspeakable name of God. That in some way God, that potter, has designed and formed and molded the clay of us so that even when we breathe in and breathe out, we are breathing and speaking his name, whether we acknowledge it or not. So if you woke up this morning and you breathed in and breathed out just once, you can know that that heavenly potter is at work again today in your life. If your bones began to move today, even if it was a painful process, you can know that the heavenly potter has got you as a lump of clay in his hands, and he's at work again today in you and with you. He isn't finished with you, and he isn't finished with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God for his love, for his attention, and for his care. But there's a part of this old story that we must also know. We have what is called agency, most of us. And that is the capacity to act as we see fit, autonomously. As Jeremiah watched and as he listened there in that potter's room, he learned that God's people could decide and act and determine autonomously on their own, even apart from God, as they chose. The clay, Israel, you and me, could turn away from the potter, the Lord. Now, this doesn't happen in real life. Clay doesn't speak up and give direction and orders to the potter. The Lord asked this question of his people in Isaiah 29, which is another old and ancient prophet. And the Lord asked this of his people. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter? Can that lump of clay speak back to the potter and say, you know nothing? Those are God's questions back to his people. Sounds to me like his people were speaking back to him, telling God, you didn't make us. You don't know anything about me, about us. Yet, Jeremiah learns that this is exactly what God's people have done. Look at verse 12 there of Jeremiah 18. What does it say? Verse 12 says this, and this is God's people speaking to God. This is the clay speaking to the potter. Verse 12, we will continue with our own plans. We will follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. This is the clay speaking to the potter. This is God's people speaking to God. This is God's people turning away from the Lord. Now, people don't speak to God that way, do they? They do then and they do now. We did then and we do now. And so, Jeremiah's lesson is also our lesson. It's almost like by having this passage, it's like we're there with him, right there in the potter's house. It's like we're standing against the wall in the shadows, overlooking, like standing right behind Jeremiah, looking over his shoulder and catching a glimpse of this potter and this lump of clay. It's like we're there and we can hear, overhear God's conversation with Jeremiah. And what we hear is the clay talking back to the potter. I will go my own way. I will continue with my own plan. I will let my stubborn heart lead me. So, church, let us learn the lesson of the clay. Let us not say to the Lord, I will go my own way, I will continue with my own plan, and I will let my stubborn heart lead me. No, not today. Not today. Let us learn the lesson of the clay. Rather than speaking as that old clay did to the potter, maybe what we would speak to our Heavenly Father that holds us is this. Lord, I will seek to know your way for my life. I'll seek it. I will seek you. It will not just be an accident if I run into you, Lord. It is something that I will do. I will give myself to. I will give my energies and my intellect. I will give my future to. I will seek you, Lord. I will seek you to know you and to encounter you, to love you. Maybe today, the clay that the Lord holds in his hand, you and me, maybe what we would say as we learn the lesson of the clay is that we would say back to the Lord, Lord, I want to seek to know you and your way for my life. You're not finished with me yet. And so, Lord, I want to seek you and to know you. Maybe also we would say something like this: as the Lord holds that clay, you and me, in his hands, he's not finished with us yet. And so rather than speaking back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to go on with my plan. It's a good one. I've researched it. I've Googled it. I've budgeted it. It's a good plan, Lord, and I'm going on with it. Maybe what that clay would say to that potter that holds us in his hands is we would say this: Lord, I'm going to give myself fully to following you. I'm going to give myself fully to it. I don't know where it's going to lead me. I don't know what it's going to look like, Lord, if we get there. But I'm giving myself fully to following you. I'm going to set my plans on hold until I know that my plans align with your plans. Maybe that's what this clay would say to the potter today. As we learn the lesson of the clay, maybe a third thing that we might would say to the potter is this: as he holds us close to him, and as he continues his work of molding and shaping our lives, maybe we would say to the Lord this: rather than my stubborn heart, Lord, continuing to lead me away from you. And you know my stubborn heart, Lord. You've known it for a long time. Lord, you've known my stubborn heart. And you know, Lord, how I've stumbled along the way. And I just keep stumbling along. And rather than us saying that, Lord, my stubborn heart is going to lead the way, what we might would say is that, Lord, I want my hungry heart to lead me to you. Not my stubborn heart to keep me stumbling along and even stumbling away from you, Lord. But that my hungry heart would lead me to desire you, to encounter you, so that that heavenly Father that holds us in his hands can continue the work that he set out to do when he breathed life into you and me. The lesson of the clay. I don't know about you, I'm still learning these lessons. But I'm glad this old story is there to remind me that the Lord is still working. Now, there are some things in this passage that I didn't preach on today. We need to pay attention to, because they're true. The Lord says that he can cause a nation to rise up or to fall. And when he's talking about that, you know, we can think about our nation. In this passage, I think he's talking to his people. But I tell you, we need to take seriously our Lord. And we need to take seriously what it is that he wants in our lives and in our life together. He's the potter, and we're the clay. Let us learn the lesson of the clay. Lord, thank you for this time and for your word, Lord. It breathes life into us. It is alive. Lord, your word in the New Testament letter of Hebrews, it tells us your word is like a two-edged sword. It separates like a laser, Lord. It separates. Lord, we like shades of gray. I don't know. Sometimes we don't like shades of gray. We like black and white. But your word is like a laser, and it is finely tuned to correct us and to mold us and to shape us. And so, Lord, may your word speak to us this day, and may we respond to it faithfully, willingly, Lord, as your hands hold us and mold us and shape us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to sing a song of response today. As the Deer. I love this worship song. I've been singing this since my college days. And it just draws me to the Lord every time. Let's stand together and let's sing this song together.
A deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire.